Welcome back to Republic of Texas Radio here on August the 4th, 2019. And here we do have David Devine on the line here. I just want to say something, you know, about how deeply ingrained, you know, some of these things are, you know, have been put into us. You know, while I was sitting there talking with John, you know, I'm sitting there, John, okay, John's in Louisiana. Even though we had a great conversation and I really wasn't thinking this, in the back of my mind I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, I'm listening to, you know, to his accent. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to think, so he's in Louisiana, you know, there's a lot of black people in Louisiana, John's accent is different from mine, but that's just kind of a Louisiana accent. It didn't sound like, you know, a Harlem accent or anything like that, where I could tell, you know, if he was a black guy or a white guy. But and you know, to me, it really doesn't matter. But, you know, as it's so deeply ingrained in us, that kind of in the background, while I was talking to him, I was thinking, it's like, wow, is this a black guy out here, you know, who's really agreeing with me, you know? And, you know, as deeply as ingrained, it's like, it's almost like, well, that's refreshing, you know, when that shouldn't have any context, but that's the way we've been trained to think. And I had a great conversation with John. Loved talking to him. I don't care if he's black, white, purple, what he is. You know, he just wants a decent life. And that's, you know, what most of us want. Anyway, I guess I will end rantings of a sane man here. And David, are you with us?
I am. And keep your rantings going, because I agree with you. You know, I travel around a lot, and I live out in Asia. So, you know, getting to that whole base of it, we're all just humans. We all need to work with each other. We all need to think about solutions together, and we need to thrive together. It's this whole narrative that's dividing people and putting all these wedges in and getting this indoctrination when you're so young to start thinking about other groups of people in certain ways. And I'm so happy I lived overseas here for a fair bit now, because it's kind of really shaking that out of me, because you know, we get so indoctrinated from such a young age, and, you know, that's got to really go away if we're going to survive or do anything together in this grand solar minimum. And I'm glad you brought that point up there when you began.
Yeah, and you know, being over there in Asia, I'm sure that you're not surrounded just by, you know, everyone you're surrounded by is not, you know, a Christian. So, you know, most people in this country would say, well, there can't be any good people over there. But, Dave, can you answer me this? Have you met good people over there that you would not share, you know, that you would, you know, if you got in a battle, you knew that they'd back you up? You know, good people that you can count on. And they're not Christians. I'm sure you found a few of those.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of the religion out here is Buddhist and Taoist. That's kind of the vibe. That's the vibration that's out here, literally, and the temples that are going on. But again, it goes well deeply beyond the religions and the socioeconomic strata and these things. Again, it's about people, and if they trust you with their life, or if they don't, or if you would trust them in a real hard situation. Because out here with China getting ready to you know, take control back of, I'm going to say, Hong Kong, where, well, they already own it. It's part of China anyway, but they're going to try to control it more, and they're looking at coming out over here into Taiwan. You know, it seems that these bonds are getting a little bit tighter of who can trust who right now. There's been a ramp up in that in the last couple of weeks of, you know, discussions of, you know, the same thing in the States. Would you really protect somebody back there, and who would you trust around your periphery to help you, you know, stay safe when something were to happen? You already have your short list of people you know you could count on. So it's the same thing out here. There's definitely great people across the planet. And I really dislike that the media always tries to put this in, that everybody's bad, everybody's negative, anybody different than you's got to be a bad person. And that's a message we're getting pretty much across. I just don't agree with that. I don't. There's so many good people. I'm going to say that's like 97% good people, and then there's a couple bad percent out there, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah, and I agree. You know, that this is the indoctrination that we've been you know, charged with. You know, it's like I said, you know, I like I said, while I was talking with John, you know, in the back of my mind I was thinking, it's like, you know, wow, you know, this would be really neat if this is a black guy and he's agreeing with me, a white guy. And that should have no relevance in it, you know, and it really doesn't to me, but yet the ingrained thought processes are in there, and they do come out, you know, even if it's in the background, you know, they are there, because, you know, these people are good at what they've done. But anyway, let's get on to some other subjects. Let's get on to some technology and some science, and just take me where you want to go. I might throw a thing in here or there, because I love technology. I love talking about, you know, the free energy and you know, how much we've been lied to and how free we could be if we were allowed to, you know, create these things, take these inventions, and instead of them being stolen from us and taken down in the dark depths of DARPA and seeing if they can be weaponized before they can be they're given to us. You know, if they can't, it seems like if they can't weaponize it, they just don't even let us have it. You know, if it's going to do us a benefit, but if it's weaponized, well, then they bring it out and tell us it's good, when, you know, in reality, it's really going bad for us.
Yeah, you know, and I don't even know where to, how big to start on that or how small to start on it, because when we look at the global scale, you know, the magnetic field on our planet's weakening, and they have this ongoing program disguised as geoengineering, but I really believe, along with so many others now, there's a base layer under that for cosmic radiation management due to the increases in the galactic cosmic rays due to Earth's weakening magnetic field, as well as the polar wander that's happening that will eventually, I'm saying eventually end up in a magnetic pole reversal. But at that large scale, you know, again, why couldn't they use this for the benefit of humanity instead of trying to, I guess, corral us once again? It always seems to be like that. If there's abilities for them to be able to give us smooth rainfall across the planet, then instead of just needing it to bounce radio signals and use it for military applications, why couldn't they use that for the benefit of humanity and try to smooth out rain patterns and get weather patterns and systems to bring us the perfect amount of rainfall for the perfect crop growing zone so everybody would have more than bountiful amounts of food, that our food prices would actually decrease or be almost free? You know, but then it's used to weaponize, you got to try to make a drought in this country. And then all the while masking everything because they don't want to have panic on the planet, because you talk about a weakening magnetic field, like they need to recharge it and use, you know, nanoparticulates of metals to try to nullify the energized particles coming into our atmosphere. And, ooh, that's scary. They won't pay their taxes. So, you know, how far do we go with that? I mean, that application alone would be a civilization-enhancing technology. If we could truly, like they'd say, perhaps, with geoengineering and then the heating of the ionosphere and different types of technologies, we could stabilize rainfall. You know, can you imagine stabilizing? But look at what happened with the droughts in the middle of the United States. Was that a weaponized flood to kind of wipe out American food production and Chinese food production? Because it happened in two places. Not sure.
Well, you know, that's what they do to us. You know, they tell us, well, you know, we've always had floods, we've always had this, but not to this extent. You know, if there is something major going on out there, it's kind of like the whole alien thing. You know, it's like, well, if they really told us, then, you know, everyone would panic, you know, if they thought that there was some other life out there, because we've always been told that we're the only, you know, intelligent species that's ever been put here, because God, you know, came and sprinkled a few little grains of something over here on the planet, and boom, there were people, you know, and we're the only thing out there, you know. Would it be that scary to come to another realization that, wow, there are other forms of life out there, not on this planet, that are intelligent, that think, that have thought processes? You know, why is that so scary? Besides, for them, it's a means of control. You know, they say, well, we're specialer, and, you know, there's nothing else out there. You know, if it would kind of dilute that being special if we came to the realization that there are other things out there that are intelligent that can maybe be smarter than us in our concept of smart. You know, yeah, go on, Dave.
No, that's it. I would be happy to chat with an extraterrestrial entity itself. I would like to learn the tech and how their civilization's evolved and what are the cycles that they know about the Birkeland currents in different stars on our spiral arm of the galaxy intertwined with our own solar system. You know, what happens when there's electrical frequency changes in different stars in their part of the galaxy, their spiral arms? You know, how is it all interconnected to us? Because those are the kind of questions I would really want to know, like the workings of their solar system from their star connected to another star, and what they know about regional stars around them, and then other, you know, classes of civilizations inhabiting those planets around there, and what the tech is that they're using to jump from point A to point B. Because I really, you know, I say this in all seriousness, I really do believe in Stargate technology, that there are possibilities to jump to other distances far across the galaxy or far into other planets, even with our own solar system. It's been talked about through ancient antiquity, and we know for sure when you find these large carved, they almost like doorways on the surface of, you know, predominantly sandstone, giant faces of either mountains or rocks in the desert. Those are conduits. You need to put your head up against those, and certain chanting frequencies will allow you to jump in or transit to a different place. It's been talked about for how many, 5, 6, 8,000 years? So I know there's other tech out there, and imagine instead of having to use rockets to jump to another place, imagine if we could replicate that technology where we would need no transportation. We could literally jump from New York to L.A. in like 2 seconds, and we could put all of our big trucks through, you know, portals like this, and they could drive through in half of a second. We would need no fuel. We would need no airlines. Everything would be instantaneous. If you wanted to go have lunch in Italy, ooh, you just jump in there. Well, you want to go rafting on the Zambezi River in Africa, ooh, there you go there for the weekend. You know, this is the kind of idea where my mind is. This tech is being hidden from us to lock us in, like Tesla Technologies. We don't need all this copper, you know, cabling across the planet and this spider web. We don't need it.
No. You know, it's transmission of energy through the air. You know, I've stood between a couple of Tesla coils and grabbed a fluorescent bulb, and wow, it lights up like a lightsaber in your hand. You don't feel a thing. Don't feel any detrimental effects. Of course, there could be long-term effects. They haven't informed us of those. But once again, what you're talking about, like Stargates, we have been with the concept that time is a set thing, it's a duration, and that distance is a set thing between point A and point B, But, our minds have been closed off to the possibility of what if that distance, that line, that timeline could be bent and twisted, and instead of a straight line from point A to point B, it can be manipulated to where it basically that line becomes a circle, and when it almost touches at both ends and you almost close that circle, you can jump from point A to point B, basically what we would consider instantaneously at that point. You just step across that little divide there, and you're at the other end. What used to take you light years to get to, you can just take one step across that little gap, and you're on the other side of the galaxy. Is this kind of where you're talking about? That basically space time. There are creations of us. It's a duration and it's a distance, but that it's not something that's immutably set, like we've been told it has been.
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely. And again, if we could bring that same tech on a galactic level, and we could bring it down to our own planet here, can you imagine how that would transition our entire society? So if you're using, now imagine use a mind experiment to couple all this together for the benefit of humanity. If we were to use geoengineering and possibility for galactic cosmic ray management to give us completely stable rainfalls where we could produce the highest yielding crops that we could possibly get in areas to grow that are, in that grow zone for specific species of plant. And then we wouldn't need to have to pollute our environment with, particulates, and we could jump through and have that instantaneous movement between cities, continents. How would that change our society the way we would think about things? We would need no fuel. There'd be no wars with fuel, because we wouldn't need access to fuel, because I'm probably sure that we could use Tesla Technologies and antigravitics developed by Dr. Brown in the 1960s and even further back with Marconi
to be able to use electrogravity.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we have weightless objects that are using counter-rotating disks? I mean, this stuff's been around since the 60s. We don't need fuel.
Oh.
And then if we have
now you're talking Nazi Bell stuff. I like where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine coupling that with a delivery system where you can literally jump from cities across continents in seconds, where you wouldn't even need fuel to run those motors? You could push them electrically across the void that you're talking about. Now, think about how different our society would be and how much we would not have to work. The wars would stop. This manipulation of finance to keep people stuck in their slave positions would stop in a second. Like, they'd have the whole reworkings of the way we perceive reality would be very different. So I'm wondering if out in the galaxy somewhere there is a society like this that has gone to the Uber for the benefit of that society versus the enslavement of it, like ourselves right now here.
Yeah, I like I said, I like your mindset. I like where you're going, because we've been trained basically to close our minds off. We are told information that we've got to memorize, just rote memorization, and be able to vomit it back up when something called a test is put in front of us. That is reality. We've been told what reality is. We've not been taught to experiment. Experiment and experience. Is this reality or is it not? We've been trained not to question. Take something as fact. The evolution is fact. No, science itself says that. Science is never set. It is always changing. It is always questioning. That is science. It's questioning. It's finding out is what we call truth truth, or is it? Or are there subparticles smaller than the neutron and the proton and the electron? We pretty much know that there are quarks and that's all these other subatomic particles, and that's not the ultimate either, because what does it all come down to? What, just frequencies, wave particles floating through space, which no one can really explain to us what a wave particle is. You know, I asked my physics professors, you know, what is electricity? Does, you know, does that electron that starts at the hydroelectric plant actually end up going through my washing machine when I'm cleaning my clothes? Or is it just a change in potential? That you know, Tesla figured out that all he had to do was stick an antenna up in the air and ground it and run it through a circuit, and, you know, hey, you could have free energy anywhere you want to. You wouldn't have to be, you know, tethered to the teat of the power company and be, you know, subservient to them, you know, because it gets cold, you know, and I kind of like to stay warm, you know, but I've got to have electricity to be able to do that. So you've got to be subservient to a power that's out there that we don't, it's perceived as a public good, but really it's a big means of control. If we had our free energy, you could stick an antenna up in the air and, you know, cook your lunch. You know, you get cold, stick an antenna up in the air, you can get yourself warm. You know, you're hot, hey, stick it up there, you know, with something else. We can, you know, cool that air, and then we can stay cool. You know, we got the energy to do it. You know, that would make us really free. You wouldn't have to be tethered to that life support system.
But I thought the science was settled.
See, yeah.
They leave you locked in that box, right? They have all these other devices and ways that could free our lives. And when I say free our lives, I truly mean that, because look at the waking state of people on the planet. How much time is devoted each week to go to work to earn a salary to pay for these very same things we're talking about right now? Heating your home, buying your food, the fuels for transportation, you know, these types of things for the insurance on your car. We wouldn't need any of that, because if we were jumping from place to place, you wouldn't need the vehicles that we wouldn't even need roadways as we perceive them as much these as we have in our mind, the way we put out this highway system to get these clunky metal things to go down with rubber tires on them. It would be completely different. So
maybe still clunky metal things, but, you know, I remember back to, you know, like the old Dick Tracy cartoons, you know, where they're, you know, flying around in anti-gravity chariots, you know, and talking to each other on their wrist TVs, you know, their communicators. Well, you know, they've let us have the communicator finally after a long, long time, because back then, you remember back then, all the reports, people were saying, you know, scientists were saying, yeah, in 10 years, we'll really be doing this, you know, and then all of a sudden it just kind of dropped. Well, we've kind of got the wrist communicators now, but they don't let us have the electrogravitics, do they? Because we could just go anywhere we want to at any point that we wanted to, and not have to be restricted to roadways and, you know, license taxes and all this stuff. You know, they keep us constrained and, you know, under control.
Yeah, because if I had my own electrogravitics or, you know, anti-gravity craft, I would like to go with my girlfriend under the rings of Saturn and watch the sunset. You know, these are the kind of things I would do for my free time. I would go off planet, rings of Saturn, watch the sunrise, sunset, whatever, out the viewing window of the cockpit there and take a look. You know, why should we not be able to think like this? Why should we not be able to think about going to other planets for a weekend if we have this tech, or even going further to other star systems? You know, because I look at some of these movies, such as Star Wars, that we've seen in Stargate, and these, I do believe a lot of this is real world thing that they're sort of drip feeding in, that there could be the possibility of other, you know, class 3 civilizations out there somewhere that are far advanced from us, but there are trading posts and things intergalactically are traded. I mean, when you think about intercontinental trade that we have now, why wouldn't it be anything else, or the interplanetary trade? I mean, we have things they might not have, and the way we could possibly use gravity to create something different, they can't, because their gravitational field's different, or the way they can construct molecules and atoms in some sort of a vessel that we can't do, because it's based on vibration and frequency and electricity, right? They could do something different that we haven't mastered the tech with yet. So
right,
I think
know,
there's
and,
a lot of possibility.
Inertia, you know, like I said, you know, you know, people have seen these unidentified objects in the sky that, you know, zip, and they'll do 90-degree turns, you know, or in a cute turn even, you know, come back the same direction, you know, at fantastic speeds. It's like, well, that's just got to be a figment of my imagination, because they'd get crushed to death if they went at a 90-degree angle doing that speed. And it's like, well, you know, and once again, you know, they keep us so preoccupied that we don't sit down and expand our minds and see possibilities that, you know, well, you know, what if you create, you know, this anti-gravity, you know, technology, and that when you do this, it basically creates your own little space-time bubble that you're encased in, and, you know, what we call natural laws, you know, these are definites, you know, they have no relevance when you're in that situation. So you can do those without, you know, those 90-degree turns without being crushed. And we'll get to more of this. I'm trying to let you run where you want to go here, Dave, but man, I'm so interested in this stuff. I'm sorry if I break in on you, but we'll be back in a few minutes here, folks.
Cut. How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Radio folks, we're here on a Sunday talking with my guest here, David Devine, real interesting guy. And before we get back to David real quick, I heard Richard Allen Miller, Doc Ram, say something a couple of weeks back, I think, you know, and it really kind of stuck with me. You know, I make no qualms, you know, that I had kind of a wild, you know, past, you know, kind of live and let live, and, you know, if I live to 30, you know, then I'll start, you know, calming down. You know, so, I heard him say the phrase, he said, once you have done psychedelics, you are different from a vast majority of the people that surround you. And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and what he was basically saying is that when you do these things, and it's like anything else, folks, it's like, you know, a rifle, you know, a firearm is ambivalent about what it does, what its function is. What determines its function is whoever is handling that. The same is true with drugs. Opioids, there are a definite need for them. You know, you break a leg and it's going to hurt like, you know, I'll get out when it's set and operated on. And, yeah, it'd be nice not to be able to feel that pain. There are good purposes and there are bad purposes for almost everything we encounter. Psychedelics are the same way. You do them in the wrong circumstance, yeah, you can have a bad experience and freak out and it could mentally damage you for the rest of your life. You do it right and correctly without all the fears and everything that are instilled around it, and it can open your mind up to a whole lot of, that there are possibly a whole lot of different possibilities out there. There are endless possibilities. You get to see that what has been instilled into us that, you know, this is law, this is, you know, physical law, this is a, you know, this is our civilized law, that, well, no, it's really not. There are possibilities. It gives you the idea that, wow, maybe I can do something like this. And you just need the time and the the open mind to sit down and think and figure things out. It's like, well, we really can float around. We can just, take an asymmetric capacitor and, run some high voltage at a very low amperage across it, and it negates gravity. Is it possible? Well, we're told it's not. But if you've done things that expand your mind and make you aware that, wow, there are other ways of thinking out there, that it might be possible. Sorry, Dave. I just heard something Doc Ram say that, and I really thought about it, and he's right. There are a lot of people are so tight because they've been told that, oh, if you do this, it's of the devil, and it's terrible. But their minds have been closed, and they will stay closed, and they will never even accept that what we're talking about might even be possible. We're just crazy to them.
Yeah, because you think about through prehistory as well. When we go back with ancient societies, they worship the magic mushroom. You go back to the Hittite civilization. Their god was the access using the portal of the mushroom psilocybin inside to touch God, to talk to God, to be in communion and actually join that energy field with it. They revered it. That was the conduit. That was their communion to get to touch that great consciousness that binds all space, time, and reality, and dimensionality, and all these physical things, atoms, and that whole energy wave field of consciousness that holds it all together. They worship that, and things that we look at, peyote and ayahuasca, and these different kind of rituals that have gone through to touch the other side and go into different dimensions. People don't get addicted to that. Like, when's the last time you said, well, he's got to go to rehab because he's eating mushrooms 3 times, 8 times, 10 times a day? You don't ever hear that. You just don't. Like, oh, he's doing ayahuasca 16 times a day and needs to go to rehab. You just never hear that. These are very ceremonious.
That is true.
It's like, yeah, it is.
When ecstasy, MDMA, when it was still legal, I did it, And man, I'm telling you one thing, the song came out, I want a new drug, when they want me to do this, that was right about that time. And I'm telling you folks that it is, I was around club pulls of people that were on ecstasy, and I never, ever saw one bite. When you took ecstasy, first time I took it, I even had a little sheet that explained the effects. You're gonna feel, slightly after about 20 minutes, you'll feel slightly disjointed, and it'll last, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on, your basic metabolism and body makeup and everything. And it's a general effect, don't let it freak you out, and then it'll smooth out, and then you're gonna enjoy. And you do. You could sit and talk to a hat rat for 6 hours and have the best time that you've ever had. Because you open up, and you're honest, and you just want to have a good time. What's on your mind, you will say, and it won't be offensive, and people that are on it won't take it as offensive. Everyone got along just fine on it. But then you had kids doing, 9 tabs a day out in, California, we're told, and everything, and people dying on it. And it's like, well, yeah, we got it. It's a bad. We got to restrict it. And even psychologists were saying, man, that drug, people that had hang-ups that they couldn't talk about, that even under therapy, give them a hit of ecstasy, and they'll tell you their whole life story, and you can find out why people are twisted and have a better chance of helping them get out of it. But no, it's made completely, it has no beneficial uses at all. It's just one of them crazy people things. But man, then that's how we're manipulated, folks. Our minds are stayed slammed shut.
Yeah, because I know for a fact they were using it for marriage counseling in South Africa. They were using that same substance to get, on the verge of breakup, or the dissolution of a marriage, and they still had children. That's traumatic for children to get into a divorced household and watch that whole thing unfold. So they were really trying to work through it to get people to stay together, and that was one of their main substance that they used down there was marriage counseling and MDMA sessions, which is amazing. And they keep saying there's no uses for these types of sacred plants. But it took so long, and I want to try to interweave this maybe with the Grand Solar Minimum, because hemp it grows everywhere, and now we're making CBD oil from it, and now they're saying, oh, there are some benefits. Well, those same benefits were known back in 5,000, 8,000 years ago. They knew. Yep. We made oil from that same seed. We have protein coming from the same seeds from hemp. And now it's really quirky that they've kept it illegal all these how many decades now. And then suddenly this year, hemp's legalized across so many areas. But then this is the year we're starting to lose so many crops that we're really understanding that there has to be substitution species of plant that still provide protein. And now here it is, hemp. Oh, it's suddenly the miracle plant that you can plant anywhere, that grows anywhere with very little pesticides, that grows in an enormous amount of conditions. Because you see it, if you go to the Himalayan trekking, I don't know if anybody's been to the Himalaya and up in India and Nepal. That stuff grows wild up the hillside. You'll take like a 3 or 4 hour bus ride, and it's nothing but hemp plants all up the tree, all up the valley side, just wild growing up there. And it grows everywhere, even at those altitudes, cooler temperatures, whatever. And you can grow it everywhere in road crops. But in terms of a protein source, it could actually definitely 100% guaranteed substitute wheat or soya. Because as these areas go offline, especially Canada and farthest reaches of North America, when we get up around northern Minnesota, places like this, that are going to go offline. But maybe not offline if you're growing hemp. But the traditional where we might be growing wheat and that sort of rapeseed and soya, and we get down into the corn when it starts further down around in Oklahoma, Nebraska area. You know, it's going to get cold down there too, and a lot of crops are going to be needed to be switched out. But what is the weird timing? It had been demonized for almost 100 years in this country. And now suddenly it's legal in a lot of states now. I think it's half the U.S., now hemp is legal everywhere, and suddenly like they gave a little tiny little lifeline out there, and it's just quirky, the timing on the grand solar minimum matching up with the legalization of hemp and marijuana products.
Yeah, well, I'll agree. You know, the timing on so many things, you know, why do they let, you know, it's supposedly now legal in the states, and the states are saying, oh, we're going to legalize this, even though federally it's still, you know, a very restricted, and there's no beneficial uses for it at all. So, you know, if And people don't even see this most of the time. It seems like, you know, we were set up, we're supposed to have, you know, 50 individual states. You know, we each had our states' rights were above federal rights. But then it became federal rights, you know, Trump state rights. But now state rights are going against federal rights, and it's okay in some states, but not other states. But and just the whole dichotomy of that situation it keeps us confused, you know. The power structure, and, you know, why are they allowing this? Exactly, you know, why now? Is there something going on? You know, if they were doing solar radiation management, David, would they not tell us if it was just beneficial uses, if that stuff that they put up there wasn't, you know, heavy metals coming back down on us, and generally heavy metals, except for in trace amounts in our bodies, are something that's kind of detrimental to our, what we call life.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, the fear factor, you know, if you give people two choices, you got solar radiation management or geoengineering, where they say they fed us this whole CO2 causes warming. So, you know, on the underhand, people, even though they know geoengineering is going on, they're like, well, even in their underbreath, well, we don't like them spraying the metals, but, you know, they're trying to stop all the runaway global warming. Versus choice B, hey, we got to put cosmic radiation management up there because, you know, those galactic cosmic rays that are coming in, if we don't stop it, you're going to have the once in a thousand year flood every single storm, and your DNA is going to start changing, and you might even have instant evolution because of the high cosmic ray density. So please sleep well tonight, and remember to get up to go to work tomorrow, and please pay your taxes. And, you know, are they really going to come out and tell people that? That would freak everybody out if they came out really with the cosmic radiation management versus the geoengineering, solar radiation management, where people still think if they get the community groups together, they can stop the spraying in the skies. I think it's another layer of the onion a little bit deeper, but giving human psyche, would you tell the truth to the masses? Would you really?
You know, they do it kind of subconsciously. It's like, you know, now it's like you can go out and you can buy UV-resistant clothing, you know, and it's, you know, it's kind of the new fad and everything. They don't tell you that, you know, we never used to need that because there wasn't that much UVB coming through. And, you know, but now, you know, they've got, you know, oh, it's a 10 today on the UV scale, you know, and be careful out there and don't go out during this period. You know, there's kind of subtly they're telling us that, you know, we're in a lot of trouble, but they're not really telling us why or what its causes might be or if there's any way that we could protect ourselves against it.
Well, that upset the balance of finance on the planet. You know, there's a number of people required to keep everything going. They go to work, they need to pay taxes, they buy stuff, they pay taxes, they work. If that ceases because
people,
you know,
down to the money.
It comes
and the
to the money.
That it brings.
You don't matter when the money's in the way. And that's the way you look at it. Like everybody listening today to this broadcast, if you really think the government cares about you, I'm sorry, that is not the case. You're there to help the system move forward, but if you disappear, then there's somebody else behind you, and it's just that mentality. So, sorry, you're not special in the eyes of the government and the powers that move this society forward. I wish we were doing it a different way. I'm really trying my best to try to bring my little specialty for the explanations of the changes in the sun, so people can have better awareness to try to get ready for these changes that are ongoing at the moment. It's not going to start in the future. It's ongoing. Like when we were kids, do you remember ever having a UV 15 day? Like I can never remember that as a kid where it was UV 15. Now it is always 12 or 15. That's, you know, so when it was 7, your mom would be like, sunscreen on 7, and now it's 15. Yeah, something, even 20 at sometimes. It's incredible, the changes.
Yeah, and, you know, I know for a fact that, like I said, you know, even in the middle of winter, you know, I'd be out, you know, duck hunting or something like that, not many ducks flying around. You know, it's like, well, you know, got up real early, I'm tired, you know, I'd find a little hole in a thicket where there's a little patch of sun coming down through a thicket, you know, and I'd crawl up, you know, in the weeds, in the vines down there, you know, and take a nap, you know, and that warm sun, you know, it really felt good. Now, you try and do that, you find you a little hole in a thicket and curl up on it, and the sun stings. Even during the winter when it's cold, it doesn't feel good anymore.
Yeah, and these expected UV changes as the sun reduces its output moving forward. You know, and I'm going to say something bold here, but I do believe the sun's going to go through a spectral change as well. So we've seen it go from yellow when we were kids to white. And you know there's a distinct color difference in the sun comparatively from when we were kids. Like that yellow I remember as a kid, this white sun we're seeing now is completely different. Now as we transition deeper into this grand solar minimum, I would say it was somewhere around 2028, 2030, the sun's going to shift to a slightly blue tinge. Now imagine the effect on society when people look up and see a slightly blue-tinged sun. How are they going to explain that to everybody? But the UV will be so far off the charts by that point. I mean, it'll be like one of those space movies where they're on the other side of the moon where they put their arm through the shadow and it almost catches on fire. It'll be something like that.
Well, or maybe we've physically changed. I mean, the police forces, you know, are being, you know, trained in their academies that, you know, basically we're cockroaches. So maybe we'll actually turn into cockroaches because supposedly the radiation kind of, they kind of have fun in that stuff. But, you know, once again, what is the truth? We won't know that until it gets there. And, David, you know, I just want to explain to folks out there again, tell me if this is not your concept. You're not trying to scare anyone out there. What you talk about might have scary implications, but we're just trying to inform people of what we've been lied to about, how much we've been misinformed, and trying to get them to understand the reality of our situation a little bit better. Is that not correct? Is this what you're trying to do, Dave?
Yeah, that's right, because you're in this with me. I'm in it with you. There's nowhere to run. You know, if we had anti-gravity crap, perhaps we could escape to a different planet and wait this thing out. But we're all here together on this planet, and I'm going to go through the same changes with the climate on the surface of our planet as you are. So if people are more prepared as to what's going on, maybe we're all more prepared, because I look at it as I'm doing my preparation, and I have a fair few people around me. But what about yourself? What if you have a fair few people around you and then our communities can connect and we're all more readied? This is the kind of state that I want to explain the problem and then offer the solutions. I don't want to just talk about the problem and say, hey, get scared. There's a big problem. This only comes once every, you know, 2,000 years. This rain cycle that's coming back and the weather patterns are going to shift and we're looking at a multi-millennia cycle here. I wouldn't just run away and leave you with that info. I want you to get the solutions. Okay, you got to explain the problem first so then you can understand the solutions. And we've been through it before, multiple times. Umpteen times before, and, you know, and we're still here. So nobody disappeared. I mean, you got to work through it. There's been reductions in population, but not to zero.
And tell me if you don't, if this isn't kind of the way you see it too. You know, in today's world, you know, a vast number of people have immediate access to basically the knowledge of the planet, you know, at least as far as we've been told the knowledge. But, you know, okay, simply because you have knowledge does not mean that you are knowledgeable, that you can take that knowledge and you've actually thought about it and thought about the implications that string of words might mean. You know, you might have knowledge, but that does not mean, simply because you know that there is something called geoengineering going on, does not mean that you've actually become knowledgeable about it. You've actually sat and thought about its implications, what its possible benefits might be, what the negatives might be. You just know that there's something called geoengineering going on, and that's, oh, yeah, that's the stuff coming out behind the planes up there. Does not make you knowledgeable. You might know about it. You might know that it's a concept that's there, but you have not been allowed to sit back and think about the possible implications. That's knowledgeable in my field of view.
Yeah, walking through the scenarios, you know, and again, I come back to the food production, because the food production of a country is really its productivity, because you look at nations around the world that don't have any of their own domestic or very limited domestic food production. they're generally not the strongest economies on the planet. So I really believe in my own mind here that food is the economy of a nation. So, you know, talking in practice, looking on your computer screen on how to grow food, okay, go out and grow me 50 kilograms of something, whatever, XYZ. You know, by the time you even realize how to go out and get those skills together, you know, it takes years to get all that. I'm still learning on how to do our vertical tubes here and which ones are working best in the which season and whatnot. I mean, it's a learn. You got to go make the mistakes, and then you can kind of learn and get that knowledge, because knowing something is way different. You got to practice it. You got to understand it. And, you know, crop growing or any kind of food growing is a perfect example of that.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, I agree with you. You know, that you know, production of food, that helps us stay alive, to exist on whatever plane of existence we are on, whatever you want to call it. You know, now we've been taught that, say, sitting in a cubicle under fluorescent lights in front of a screen, and you create an app, you know, well, is that creating something? Well, it's expanding the economy, but can, you know, when it comes down to it and you're hungry, you can't, you know, go in there and grab that app out of the fridge and eat it and continue to exist on this planet. It's creating, it's growing the economy, and I guess they call it, you've created something, but it's nothing that is actually pertinent to our existence. You know, when it comes down to it, does it make life more convenient? Well, yeah, possibly. But, you know, it also always ends up being more trackable and traceable, you know, at the ultimate end of it. Like I said, everything has been weaponized against us in one way or another, and it really has nothing to do with our continued existence. You know, you can't eat an app, even though it has been created. It's nothing to do with our existence.
Yeah, and those things only work as long as everything else works in that chain to provide, you know, even the most basic, such as electricity. Now, if you lose the internet, because look around the planet, all these outages we've had in just the last, say, month. From New York, the explosions over in the refineries, what's that over there, East Coast. We've had the South American outages. We've got the West Coast outages, the underwater, undersea cables for the internet twice. Like, what is going on with the, you know, what was considered stable infrastructure for electricity and internet communications? And it's not happening just in North America, South America. It's over in Asia, down in Africa. Well, you know, it's happening everywhere. So what is it with these? Is it a frequency change where something's suddenly magnetically starting to be a little bit different? Because, you know, if you reverse the polarity or polarity gets changed a little bit in certain areas, it's definitely going to affect electricity. Because, you know, and this is the scary thing. If we couldn't have a magnetic pole reversal, nothing's going to work on our planet, because nothing will work that's an electronic device, period.
And what effect would that have on the crust, you know, that's on the outside of our this planet, this giant dynamo that we're, you know, riding through space on? You know, where did the Rift Valley come from? You know, and so all of a sudden you're going across Africa, and all of a sudden, boom, there's this great big gouge in the Earth. You know, what caused that? Was it just an earthquake, or was that, like, you know, the poles shifting and coming across and ripping a big rend in the surface as it's going across? Because it probably does have some major effects. Hopefully we won't find out, but maybe we will.
It could have been electrical arcing from another space body passing as well.
True.
Because you look at some of these, you look at some of these contours on the planet, and they replicate them in a lab when you're putting arcs on different kind of strata, especially like wet clay or something. You start to see the same striations coming off in crater formations or kind of dendritic ridges that are going up, and the way mountain formations are formed by the same ion patterns coming off of. You see a lot of similarities, and when you really start to look at the electrical nature of some of these huge discharge patterns, because the Grand Canyon never made sense to me. You know, they were telling us, oh, it's this one river that comes down and it winds, but it's only ever in that one place. And I, you know, even as a kid, I always asked, well, how did it go over to the left? And those 16 other places up here and all these other places, like, how did it wear down and all that? But now this electric universe and this electrical discharge, literally from planetary bodies, we see it on Mars, we see it on our own planet, we see it on the moon, we see it everywhere. So something gigantic electrically has happened, and probably in the more recent past than they want to give credit for. Because, again, that would spook everybody. Well, we had this giant planetary body come ripping through here, and we had discharge between two planets of what, literally lightning from the gods. Can you imagine Zeus? That's literally where Zeus came from, lightning bolts from the skies. Uh-huh. That kind of huge arc where we're talking a 400-mile plasma bolt ripping down across the planet or something, that would be terrible. Can you imagine the wind coming off of that at the strike point and the amount of debris flying in the air and all those big giant – well, you know
– I can relate to that, because I don't know, folks, if you've ever had a lightning bolt strike anywhere close to you. I was riding through our pasture one day, and it started to sprinkle a little bit. So, you know, me and my dog, there was a barn, you know, fairly close. We stopped, you know, and holed up in the barn and just, you know, watched it, you know, sprinkle a little bit. When I was standing at the door of this barn, and like 40 yards away, all of a sudden, there wasn't no thunder, anything anywhere. All of a sudden, just out of the blue, a bolt from the blue, literally, just wham! I mean, like 40 yards away from me, just boom in this old tree that was, it was dead, but it was still about 20 foot tall, you know. Well, it's only about 5 foot of it left, and there were big, huge splinters blown through the air. You know, the concussion wave hit me, kind of stunned me for a second, you know. And then I'm standing there, and I look around for my dog, and he's dematerialized and rematerialized on the other side of the barn in, you know, a millisecond. And, I walk out, you know, just kind of stunned, and the ozone in the air and the smell of the smoke from that, you know, that was created by that massive discharge, you know. It's when something like that, we see them all the time, but man, if you've ever had one hit close to you, it really brings it home, the power that's there, you know, the power that the sea of energy that we're surrounded by, you know, it just for some reason happened to hit that one particular tree at that moment. Was it just a moment in time? Was there some cause behind it? Or was it just happenstance? You know, I can't say for certain because we've not been allowed to learn that, but there's some awesome power out there, and you know that's not created by us. You know, we do not control everything.
Yeah, when we look at the electrical nature of our planet, being our crust is charged negatively, so our sun has that positive charge, and they meet somewhere up in the ionosphere. Now, since the sun's stepping down, it's an electrical activity. Like when we go into this grand solar minimum, this phase state or the electrical charge and how much real power is coming out of the sun is going to step down. Well, our Earth is going to need to match that. You talk about potential difference there. That equilibrium, that's got to equalize somewhere in that charge. Something can't say super highly overcharged when the other much larger overriding power system in our, you know, that called the sun, that thing that's a million times larger off to the left over there, that thing is going to decrease in its power state. So can you imagine our little tiny Earth? We're definitely going to equalize with that. So you're talking about crustal.
Everything basically goes towards a state of equilibrium, you know, osmotic membrane, you know, from a higher concentration to a lower concentration. You know, nature attempts to balance itself out in whatever way it can.
And that might result in earthquakes because every grand solar minimum, we have these very large 8.8, 9.0 earthquakes riddled throughout the planet, volcanic eruptions. You know, you hit it on the head with the electric. What's going to happen with the crust of the planet when we get these electrical equilibriums or these discharges? Like what, even just last week, they had the most incredible lightning that was captured on film. It ran across the cloud layer as horizontal lightning. And then it dissipated and hit the ground, but it was still connected to that cloud where then it went, that exact same bolt went from ground to sky back up in. Now, there's something very wrong when lightning does that. So here we are. We're already starting to see visible signs of electrical, you know, unusualness, shall we say.
And I've watched storms my whole life, you know, and I've noticed just what you're talking about lately. You'll go outside and a storm will be coming in. And I mean, it'll look like a strobe light up there. I mean, just click, 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 up in the clouds up there, and there's no sound. You know, so is that, you know, what we conceive as lightning? Because generally, when there's that discharge, you know, it displaces the air and it snaps back, and we get the big concussion wave, boom. You know, but that doesn't happen on a lot of these storms. It's almost like that energy that you see up there. It's almost like it's being pumped into the system, and then eventually it discharges to ground. I have no other way to explain it than that possibility. You know, these ionospheric heaters, you know, are they pumping energy into a system to create a certain effect?
Yeah, there's so many unknowns. And, you know, you start to see these sprites and these blue jets. Some of these things were legend before. You know, oh, I saw a red sprite at the top of a thunderhead or at the top of an electrical storm going up to the ionosphere up there and discharging out through that layer. But you're starting to see almost every single large electrical storm now has visible sprites, and not little ones, not little tiny ones. I mean, they're taking up a quarter of the head above the whatever the thunderheads that are there, that electrical storm itself. You know, these things are getting much more intense, these visible light wave kind of effects that we're seeing. And, you know, we're starting to see plasma streamers now in the sky that weren't seen before. What was that one name? They named it Steve, right? The one that was named in 2017, that plasma rope that was sighted in the sky. First time it's ever sighted in 2017. Now they've seen it four more times since then. It's like, what's going on with the plasma glow mode where that thing's highly charged enough to go visible where our eyes can pick it up along the magnetic field lines, but it was only once before, never seen before. Now we've seen it five times in the last 2 years. Like, where did that come from suddenly? Because seeing it once for the first time and then seeing it again and again and again, something definitely upticked in terms of charge rate on this, along the, I guess, the field line currents coming down into the poles. The potential
right,
there.
You know, are we experiencing more of that, what do they call it, the fourth state of matter, you know, plasma? You know, that we have, you know, I was never taught a lot about plasma physics. You know, I guess if you went into plasma physics, you might learn some about it. But once again, it's you're taught what the technocrats want you to be taught. And you might know more about plasma, but you don't possibly really know the ultimate uses or whatever plasma is. You know, it's a strange thing.
Well, once I learned about it with the Electric Universe guys, with Wallace Thornhill and that whole crew over there, I started to put back in ancient history with the Chinese, with the dragons, and started to see what their representations were of how many dots were along the equatorial band of the sun, where they represented, you know, cosmic plasma bands.
Here. I hate to break your concentration here. Ken, let us run through a couple of the breaks, and Ken, I appreciate that, but we got this one here, and then it'll be close to the end of the program, and I'll let you do your finishing thoughts. I'll try not to interrupt you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad. Works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, this is the last part of our program, and just a few minutes left here. I'm just going to say, and then I'll let Dave talk. I think Dave's trying to do this too. I'm not trying to bring you hope, because hope generally tends to lead towards inaction. Now, possibilities, when you have a lot of possibilities, it makes you think, and you start to think that maybe bring you to action, you know, try to create, make some of these possibilities a little bit more of reality. So I'm not going to try to bring you hope, because I see that as futile. But, Dave, I'm sorry I've kind of jumped in on you here, but this stuff just fascinates me, and we could do a 10-hour program and not even cover half the stuff that I would even want to talk to you about. But hey, go ahead and finish out your thoughts here. Hello? Well, I guess maybe Dave is gone. I'm sorry we didn't.
I was on mute there. My bad. I wanted to make sure I didn't make any distractive noises while we were on break, and then I forgot to turn that back on. But hey, I'm human too.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
The plasma.
Before
the break, I was talking about the plasma, and you know, we can come back into the Chinese with the representations of the dragons in the skies. Like, in my firm opinion, we're going to start to see some visible signs in the skies. We might even see dragons in the skies. We might see Squatter Man, different kind of petroglyphs and different types of things that are on cave walls or, you know, cliff faces that were drawn by the ancients. I really believe we're going to get to that level of highly electrified atmosphere as we move forward, where we're going to see strange sky phenomenon. But it'll be electrical in nature, so it's not to be scary. But it's just a cycle. And, you know, these ancients across the world have left us so many signs that our skies did become more highly active and much more highly charged. So to get ready for it again, those were the signs. These are what you see written and carved in stone across our planet for the last, 30,000 years. Those are things they really saw, and they're telling us it's coming back again. And I believe this is a cycle that's coming back. So, and if I could mention also,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, we're definitely not told about things, you know, kind of like, you know, the Romanian Sphinx and the Beseji Mountains up there, you know, the giant pyramids being found in China and all across the planet. You know, we're not told a lot of things, folks. You know, we've been kept stupid.
I went and visited those up in Xi'an, around Xi'an, and then the real place where more of those pyramids are around Xianyang. It's outside of Xi'an, about maybe 20 or 30 kilometers. But there's hundreds of those, hundreds. The biggest one is the Qin Tomb. But it's a pyramid. But then there's a whole line following that ley line going out another, you know, a couple hundred kilometers of just pyramid after pyramid after pyramid along that same line. So those pyramids exist. They're earthen pyramids, and you know, they don't have the pointed top like Egyptians or flat top, more like Central American pyramids. But anyway, they're out there, incredible stuff. And if I could mention my book quick, since we had our last talk, I completed a new book called Climate Revolution, which goes into everything we talked about tonight. It explains the problem, the first part of the book, and then the second part of the book is all about the solutions and really what you can do to take action for this hopeful period we're coming into. I think it's the greatest opportunity in human history if you can see where the cycles have been previously, and then you can map them out to see where your opportunity is moving in the future. It's titled Climate Revolution, David Dubine, Adapt 2030, and it's my new book. It's available as a digital copy only with 300 hyperlinks within the information, so you can go off and then do your own research on top of what I've written along with my co-author.
That sounds great, David. Yeah, you know, I appreciate you giving me your time here. You know, it's been an interesting conversation. I love talking about this stuff. You know, I love the possibilities. You know, but you know, that requires an open mind to even be able to see these possibilities. And, you know, I appreciate you giving us your time, and I sure hope that we get to talk again in the future. Like I said, I'd love to do a two-hour program with you, and we just scratch the surface of something else again, unfortunately, because, man, you know, like I said, I could talk to you for a month probably and not even hit everything I want to. But, you know, it's been interesting. I think you know, a lot of people out there like hearing about this stuff, and I definitely do appreciate it, and hopefully we will be talking in the future, Dave.
We will. I'll get you a copy of the book so you can read it.
I'd appreciate that. All right, folks, that's it for this week, and hopefully we will be back next week. This is the Republic of Texas Radio / Rantings of a Sane Man. See you next week.
Blessing in this life, had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.